This is CliffCentral.com.
It's your boy G-Man the Ant-Man, and we are back at it. It's been another dope week, man. It's all types of technical in the studio right now. And we are, you know, guys, you know, every now and then, you know, the studio gremlins, they come for me. But they won't get me. They won't get me. I'm too quick. I'm too fast. And I've also got too many people around me that are going to make sure that the gremlins don't win. But it's your boy G-Man the Airman, and then we're in the stew. And I'm excited. We've got a really exciting show with you for you today. I hope my sound effects are going to work when I need them to, because it's going to be a lot of sound effecting later. but hit me up, man. Hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem. That's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com. Send me your messages. Send me your messages. Tell me how it's been. You know, tell me if you're at work. You know what I mean? Because I know some of you guys. I know some of you guys. You got that message, that WhatsApp message. Oh, speaking of WhatsApp, remember we got that WhatsApp number too. 079-748-2090. And we got that WhatsApp number where you can send us your messages and whatever. But I also want to know, like, did you guys go to work? You know, like, I want to, because you guys got the messages about the strike. Right, and I know you guys. I know some of you guys. You know, got the message about the strike. You know, you're like, you just saw. There's a gap. You know what I mean? The taxis are fighting. I remember that time from the time when we were at school. You know what I mean? All you needed to hear was that there's going to be a taxi strike, and you said the taxis are fighting. You didn't go to school. So if you're listening to us from home, say what's up to your peeps, to me. You know what I mean? Say what's up to everybody. Maybe you should need to test out the sound effects. Yeah. Sound effects in full effect. It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back at it. But yes, like I said, please say what's up to your peeps at home first. Tell them that this is what you do at work. When they think that you're making adverts when they think that you're at the office making ads, this is what you're doing. You're listening to G-Man the Ad Man out here on CliffCentral.com. And we have a really, really dope show today. It's amazing, right? How stuff like that, like the strike messages, right? Just spark a thing in you, and you just kind of go, you know what? I'm going to choose to ignore what the facts might be. I don't actually care what the facts are, but if I see a gap, plus it's also leading up to the long weekend, right? Now some of you are thinking, if I could just take today off, and then I take tomorrow off, you know what I mean? Then you're off till pretty much like November or some shit, you know what I mean? But you just got time off. So good luck to you guys who have taken illegal leave and are sitting at home. You know, you're not supposed to be, but at least you listen to G-Man the Ad Man, and at least you're having a great time. Yeah, you know what I'm going to do, actually. I'm actually going to introduce my guest first, and then we'll have a chat, and then I can go through some of the news and some of the shit that's gone down in the past couple of days. I say shit. I use the royal version of the word shit. You know what I mean? It's like good things have happened. You know what I mean? I use the street version of shit. Oh, you guys, what a problem. But it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and it's been another dope week. It's been another fantastic week. But so if you follow me on social media, if you follow me on Twitter, if you follow me on Facebook, you'll know that my guest today is somebody that some of you might have encountered at some point in your advertising lives. You know what I mean? Some of you might have gotten your education. You know what I mean? But I think. You know, after having, like, all it takes is for you to just kind of look at some of the stuff on her profile, some of the stuff that she's done, to kind of know that, you know, I've got a heavy hitter. I've got a heavy hitter in the stew with me today. But I'm gonna let her do most of the talking about herself and what she's been up to. But in the stew with me today, I've got, hey, Miss Rorisang Sikogelo, what's up?
Hello. How you doing?
It's such an awesome pleasure. I feel like I need you to come closer to the mic. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's okay. Much better. Yeah,
right.
much better. How are you doing, Larissa?
I'm so good. Like, this is fun.
Yeah,
this is it, fun. It, this is how you stay away from work. So,
come on,
taxi strike.
King, Larissa. Hey, I'll bring you.
You have all of this fun here.
I'll bring you to the stew. I'll bring you to the stew, and the first thing you do is you just tell me that this is how I get away from work.
I need a job here.
This is work. This is work.
Fun.
I'm telling you.
This is fun.
How you been? How you doing? What do we get you away from? You know, what's in your inbox? What are you working on?
Oh my word! So huge pitch yesterday.
Oh yeah.
So that was very stressful.
Yeah.
And the decider is just the budget. So the client is having the top two agencies kind of scope out the work. So that was this morning. That was literally this morning.
That is crazy shit.
You know, I bought myself time to come out here.
Yeah, and we appreciate
come hang
that.
Out with you.
We really do appreciate that. Jimmy and the Evan, we always love it when people come to hang out. And so how do you think the pitch went? Are you allowed to tell us?
Yes, I am allowed to tell you, but that bag is definitely, you know, semi-secured.
Yeah.
You know?
What was
semi?
That's what I keep talking about, guys. Oh God, this is crazy.
Semi, you want to jinx it, so you want to go all the way there. But that one was semi, like, isn't look, it? Feeling good.
Yeah.
But you know how it is. We felt good before, only to be shocked for days when it went elsewhere. So
pitches are like that, though, aren't they? You know what I mean? Like, people always ask me, like, I always find it's almost an unfair question to ask someone.
Yeah.
Like, how do you think the pitch went?
Yeah.
You know, because you can walk out of there thinking, oh, I know, kill this
amazing
thing. You know what I mean? And I've walked out of pitches as well, having just gone,
it didn't happen, right?
Exactly. And then you get a phone call, people go, oh, you guys are amazing, man. You know. So good luck to you, and I'm not gonna say good luck to the people you pitched against, but good luck to you, because you're out here. and has the strike affected the people at your office?
So no, so my team sort of knows that I'm just not one for that.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that if we're really showing up for clients and showing up for people, like, we've got to get around whatever obstacle. So for me, that's not even a conversation to have. Everybody was at the office at 9.
Yeah.
They weren't even.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Guys, it's all going down at Roth Media, guys. You are going to work, strike or no strike.
You better leave at 4.
Exactly. It's your boy, G-Man, the Airman. And we're back at it. So I think there's a lot of stuff that's happened recently.
Yeah.
You know what, actually? I actually have to shout out some guys that I know from my hood and some cats I know about the cookout. Have you ever heard about the Soweto Sunday cookout?
Yes, I have.
Right. So I saw the ad this morning, right? So now they've apparently gotten a sponsorship from, like, I think they're in partnership with people like Trace and Standard Bank.
Whoa.
And so, like, this nice event
thing
is really, really short, grown up. You know what I mean? And I think it's so cool that, you know, events that essentially start from just people having an idea to this magnitude it are worth celebrating. So I just think huge shout out to the homies out there doing the cookout.
Well done.
And I think that only dope things can come from this, and I think it's just going to keep growing into bigger things. So huge shout out to the homies out there at Cookout. We might be coming to see you guys on the 6th of May, but also here it gets a bit, there's a lot of people there, so people get caught doing the wrong thing with the wrong people. But that's just your guys' behavior. That's not me. But it's your boy, G-Man the Airman. Once again, I have to remind you, hit me up on Twitter, on Facebook with your questions, with your comments for Orisang, and what's on your mind. You know what I mean? Just tell her what you think of her. You know what I mean? When last you see her, all that stuff. But it's your boy, G-Man the Airman. So here's another thing that's happened recently. Coachella.
Whoa,
why does it look like everyone went to Coachella except me?
Dude, you know what? Here's what happened. Like, there's planning and a planning committee somewhere.
Yeah.
Where everybody's been cassetting money for 10 months.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't tell us.
Yeah.
And off they go to Coachella, and it's not just the FOMO of Beachella. Now it's the FOMO of all of SA is there, and here we sit watching it on the sidelines. Like, how is it, like, that I can't get in the club?
That's,
like,
insane shit.
That's just
really
not right.
Insane. But you know what? I actually want to talk about Beachella. You know what I mean? Like, I've always been a big Destiny's Child fan.
Yes.
You know, and I've been unashamed.
So now you want to talk about God, because you know I am captain, head of the South African chapter of the Beehive.
Yeah,
like, can you be very clear?
So
nearly died last weekend. Nearly died. If I didn't go take a loan, get out of here.
Yeah.
Go for
sell second something.
Weekend. Sell the car.
Yeah.
Sell shares.
But it's insane, right? Like, I watched that, and I was like, because there were two performances, right?
Yeah.
There was another one this week.
Yeah.
And I watched both because, like I said, I mean, I'm an unashamed fan. And I think that there's something that we can all learn from the world of branding, right? From Beyonce, right? And even the institution that is Destiny's Child, right? Every time Beyonce does a concert, does something big, we all still think, damn it, how cool would it be if Destiny's Child got back together? You know what I mean? And what is it that you think we can take from that? You know what I mean? Just from a, just as a branding lesson. You know what I mean? Like from how she does stuff and how the brand Destiny's Child exists.
Yeah. So for me, I really think that the big conversation here is to speak about the incredible vision that is Beyonce knows. Like she literally understood what she was trying to deliver. And I think for me, what made it so incredible is just her use of semiotics. Like she literally was landing all of these cues that were making us insane, unfolding a story.
Yeah.
You know, in through performance art. And I mean, if you weren't wowed by what you saw last weekend, like you just jaded, because that was probably some of the most exciting things I've ever seen. So I think the main thing is that I don't even feel like she's a performer anymore. Like for me, she's like a creative director. She's like literally sitting there,
that's right,
like creating a vision and just directing its execution.
Yeah.
And we know that from just Michael Jackson's work and what we've seen with This Is It, that he's very hands-on. He's literally on every last piece of detail to make sure that it translates to the wider audience and people that are watching it on DVD and people that aren't there.
Yeah.
And did she land her message to all of us? Yes, we are joining. We don't know where to sign up yet. I mean, On the Run tour is a guarantee after this.
That's
it was guaranteed anyway.
Yeah.
But now loans, sell the car, do whatever we need to do to be there. That's all there is to it.
That's
so she is, for me, like a marketing genius at this stage. Yeah. And we've all been loving her work for a really long time. And I think just her use of even just like her retro codes, just how she brings in Destiny's Child and when she brings them is just something, this the thing of beauty. You know, we weren't expecting it. It was Beachella, right?
That's right.
What makes up Beachella is Solange and Destiny's Child and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And then obviously this huge, 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 incredible work she's doing around empowering female voices, the future being female.
Yeah.
Just all of these, just how she plays up all of her messaging, and it feels like it's prioritized, it feels like it's landed, and everything is beautiful to behold. Like, wow, right?
I feel like
look at God.
I feel like I asked the right
look
person.
At God.
I mean, look at
hashtag look at God.
Look at God. Look at how it all just aligned for me to have asked the exact right. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that there's a lot that we can all learn in pretty much everything that we do.
Yeah.
Just kind of how hands-on you kind of have to be throughout the entire process.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that, you know, especially when you're working with multiple agencies on one, because I'm sure she's also got a whole team of people, right? And working with multiple agencies, and we're going to get into that much later with kind of some of the collaborations you've done as well. Working with multiple agencies makes you feel like, you know, you there's some stuff that you have to relinquish to other people, but you even have to learn how to do that and stay kind of in control of the vision.
Yes.
You know, in fact, we can get into that right now. How difficult or easy is that, you know, to kind of go, you know, I've got this vision for this thing, but now I have to also, you know, we're all advised to delegate.
So,
right? How difficult or easy is that?
For me, she's not above her work, right? I mean, sometimes when I watch Mariah perform, because I used to be a huge Mariah fan, like notes I couldn't hit, I was sitting there screeching away with her albums, right?
Vision of Love.
Like, you know, not quite. I don't hit the runs on the right, you know. It's a little bit pitchy here and there. But watching her perform these days, and especially like Vegas performances, I'm just like, doesn't she just look so lazy?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to do anything anymore.
Yeah.
When you're watching Michael Jackson and when you're watching Beyonce, you've never felt like that.
That's right.
You felt like they are literally delivering on every cue, and
that's
it's well rehearsed, and it's being brought together in a really spectacular way. So first of all, that's the first thing. If you're gonna collaborate with people and you want people to buy into your vision, you've got to buy into it.
That's right.
So
that's
I feel like she's the most passionate of the Beehive. She's literally its leader, and she owns it, and she takes it on, you know. So believing and following
she's
that.
She's lighting up talking about this stuff.
That's my girl, though. We go way back. What? Ladies, leave your man at home.
That's right.
Way back, like
Oh, guys.
But I mean, for me, you cannot collaborate unless your vision has like depth. It's layered. It allows people to be creative. If you're working off of a limited platform. Like, yeah. I mean, collaboration can only take you this far. Like, that's you right. don't really amplify and blow up your message in the way she did.
Yeah.
So she's really built her credibility over the years. She's like essentially landed what her brand is about,
yeah.
and how it wants to make women feel.
Yeah.
And she's taken that and exploded it in an incredible way. I mean, first black woman headliner at Coachella.
Yeah.
In the 19 years that it's been running.
Shout out my girl Beyonce. You know what I mean?
Yep.
One of the avid listeners of the show is Beyonce.
Look, probably the only thing she could do to improve on this year, get me on stage somewhere. Yeah. Just, you know, whatever. Rap here and there. I'll dance. It doesn't even matter. Like, once you throw some of that beehive in the mix, guys, put us on stage, that's it. That's all that's left.
That's all that's left.
Give it to the consumer now.
That's insane. Guys, this is your boy G-Man the Ad-Man. And I'm still hanging out with Rorisang. This is Kogelo. She's telling us about her dreams to be a part of the Beehive. But I mean, you know, if you have any more questions for her, any other comments, you know, hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter. And we can get chatting about it. So last week, a few award shows have been happening on the globe, and I think there are a few people we need to congratulate. The DNA D Awards have happened recently, and some people have already won some stuff, right? So I think I have to congratulate. I'll tell you now. Yeah, I'll go through the list now. So Grid Worldwide, what's up? Joe Public United, what's up?
Well done.
Ogilvy Joburg, VML South Africa, TBWA Huntless Guy, and Berkshire Hathaway. Apparently, that was formerly Cray. So shout out to all the people out there doing big things, because I think it is that season again,
yeah.
you know, and we're getting into that. But also the Prism Awards happened last week. I knew that on the radio is gonna sound like prison. No, not the Prison Awards,
Prism.
The Prism Awards, which are the PR awards, yeah. right? Which is also like I know it's a sphere of influence that kind of is quite close to your heart as well.
Yeah.
So what did you make of that? What did you make of the whole Prism Awards thing last week?
You know, to tell you the honest truth, I wasn't tuned in this year.
Okay.
Right? And
is there a particular reason?
Yeah. So, I mean, our scope is sort of, you know, PR, social. We run a lot of kind of activation and campaign work. And one of the core things is our creative.
Right.
And this last couple of weeks, as you know, was the Cannes entries.
Right.
So we have been, like, you know, this is our first one.
Yeah.
So we feel a little bit battered.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't know, going in. Yeah. You know? It always sounds good, right? Like, oh, let's just do some can entries. Like, whoa. Nearly died, right? So for us, we are looking at establishing very, very clearly essentially our ethos.
Yeah.
Which is we just want to shine the light on African creative work,
right?
But more for the smaller guys, you know, the smaller players in the market, the people that aren't given enough credibility. Yeah. So we're literally trying to leap a little bit just kind of just showcase what we're doing on a global scale and hopefully get the buy-in locally in terms of like pitching and some people winning new business.
Some people would say that you probably would want to do that the other way around though, right?
Mm.
That you would want to kind of get your footprint kind of planted really strongly and firmly, like at the local award shows, so like kind of get into the Prism Awards, because that also like I know that's what happens with kind of what I'll call the traditional advertising, that you think that, you know, once you get use the lorries as a gauge of how well your work can do overseas and all that, does that not feel like it's about ass about face a little bit for you?
No. That time is over.
Yeah.
Like, the world and communication is global and it's right now. So, and there are no like borders and barriers, and I'm constantly like trying to preach that. So if I do not believe in our own creative making it internationally and needing it to go through some kind of local gauntlet validation first, that is absolutely ridiculous to me.
Boom!
There is no way.
Boom! Local gauntlet of validation. I'm writing that one down.
I'm missing some copy, right?
But it's true. I mean, I just think that you know, traditionally, that's how we've all thought about these things. You know, traditionally, we just thought, you know, there's a path. You know, the path is that gauntlet.
Yeah.
You know, let me, if my work goes through the Lurie's, such the bookmarks or the Prism Awards, then it means that it'll do something overseas. And we also all know that it hasn't always been that way.
Mm, no.
You know, like there are things that like have gotten a bronze at the Lurie's and won a Grand Prix overseas.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So because of what you're saying, I guess.
So I think the local lens, I mean, that's a given.
Yeah.
We are a black agency, woman run.
Boom!
There's 15 of us.
What do you want?
We are absolutely beast, and we do what we do in this market, and we love this market, and we service this market.
Yeah.
But what we are saying is that we are good enough already.
Boom!
Like, and that's really all there is to it.
Yeah.
So for us, you know, this is probably our second entry as a business.
Yeah.
You know, like not for the can. 4 years ago, we did try for Lurie.
Yeah.
And I remember even then, you know, like we're hugely vested in everything, but it was more about, you know what, let's just get on the award circuit. So it wasn't really meaningful for us. It was just about, I suppose we're supposed to have this, right?
Yeah,
like a couple
of
awards here and there. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, we've always been like really focused on our work.
Yeah.
And we had never really like even looked at awards or anything like that. And then like we started feeling the pressure, like, oh my goodness, what are we doing, you know?
Yeah.
We're not profiling ourselves. We've got to get into the award circuit. We've got to kind of showcase our work to a wider market and to our stakeholders locally. And we did, but I don't think we really believed in it. Like, I think, for me, I align with where my team is at.
Yeah.
And they are absolute global players. They know that what we do here is important and it's valuable and it's effective no matter where you are in the world. So they wanted to go for a can. And for that reason alone, just the passion they put into that entry, I mean, they were so proud of their work.
That's
they
so
really
dope.
Wanted to get it out there. So for me, I didn't kind of say to them, no,
let's do this here first. Yeah.
I said, where do you want to go? The sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Like, and we can't preach that and act some type of way. And it's not to invalidate local awards or anything. It's just about believing in your team. And for them, it's important to have a global, to have global relevance.
Right. And to have a global viewpoint.
Yeah, to have a global viewpoint.
Yeah.
And I encourage it 100% because trends and innovation are moving too fast for you to only be looking
at your friends.
Yeah, at your friends here.
Yeah.
We all have to be sharing in bigger conversations, doing incredible things. Those guys that went to Beachella last week, come back, tell us. Tell us what happened, you know, so we can learn from it.
Yeah.
We've all been following things on social media for a while. We've all are absolutely inspired by people all over the world.
Yeah.
And we just make that a reality now and stop, you know, playing small.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I like that so much, man. I like that because look, I believe in that attitude. So so inspiring. So such inspiring shit, guys. It's your boy G-Man the Airman, and we're still chatting. You spoke about, you know, how you and your team, you know, beasting.
Yeah.
You know, 15 people beasting out of Bryanston.
Yeah.
But who is Roth Media? You know what I mean? Like who? Tell me about these people. You know, tell me about the squad that you've got going on.
Wow. So, you know, Grant, a lot of people don't know this about my background, but I was client side for the longest.
Like
8 years, yeah.
Yeah?
You know, before I left to go the agency route and eventually start my own agency.
Did you come over from the dark side or to the dark side?
No, this is definitely the light. This is the light. What? This is amazing.
Right.
You know, because, people on this side care about brands, eh?
Right.
On client side, I've not felt sometimes that everyone was vested at the same level.
You think
but
so?
But certainly on the agency side, I feel that everybody cares about what they're doing because, you know, this isn't, you know, the most popular career choice, you know, like doctors, lawyers, accountants, all of be an actuary, you know, just go and get your paper lined up the right way.
Yeah.
And this is almost like the space for all of these very different, very eclectic, incredibly creative, like just the others that are out there. And they've made an industry for themselves, like devoting themselves to the art of marketing and communication.
Yeah.
So this is definitely for me the light.
Right.
I'm learning a lot more. I was always a passionate client and I took my job as a brand custodian very seriously.
Yeah.
But this side, the level of accountability is much higher because you are always at risk.
Boom!
When you are an agency, you know, you are responsible for the success of things.
Yeah.
When you're a client, you are responsible for managing those people.
Yeah.
So you're firing them and hiring them all the time. Where on this side, like,
it's an accountability.
It's accountability, yeah. Big time. So for me, that for one just also just brings it into the light, yeah. And then
I guess you're saying those are the guiding principles.
Those are the guiding principles of just going in and starting an agency. And, yeah. And the team that I got together, this was my favorite thing as a client, is I loved collaborating.
Right.
I loved sitting with agencies. I didn't believe in a brief sitting in someone's inbox.
Yeah.
I would present it and try and bring it to life as best I can.
Right.
So I was constantly meeting my CDs, I was constantly meeting my strategists and copywriters, etc., to just literally try and make them as passionate about the idea as far as I could take it.
That's right.
And then really just hand on the baton and just give them the chance to go and explore it further. And we did amazing work just because that was my approach to things.
Yeah.
On the agency side, I've just taken that and explored it even further. I've gotten a team together of my favorite people to collaborate with. So every single day walking in there,
yeah.
This is exactly who I want to work with.
That's
so
great.
It's already just like a great environment, and they bring incredible skills to what we do. But at the heart of what we do, we're a creative agency.
Yeah.
Our key sort of specialty areas are PR, social media, eventing. We do a lot of promotions,
yeah.
So Shopper is a big kind of touch point for us.
Right.
And more than anything, we have the most incredible studio. We have not just creatives and producers and e-commerce specialists and digital mavericks. You know, they are just the best at what they do. They code across multiple platforms. They front and back end. They design. I mean, the best 3D graffiti you'll find in this country lives in my studio. So a lot of urban art comes out of what we do.
Boom!
People are absolutely passionate. And, you know, the culture for them, it's global.
Yeah.
It's about celebrating what we were told we couldn't do.
Right,
every single day, we try and break barriers and smash the status quo and say, okay, cool, we've gotten this far, no capital, okay?
Jeez.
One account at a time.
Yeah.
There was nothing to fast forward our trajectory.
Yeah.
There was no one to save us.
I like some of those other agencies.
You know, I don't want to speak to you. I like local. Some people just have it easier, you know? If I had a rich dad too, I would just holler, whatever. But for us, it was absolutely the hustle. You know, like our scrum had to be so tight, you know what I'm saying? Like we had to, like, yo, you know, people could write checks where we could only blink.
Yeah.
So we had to tighten up what we do very quickly and learn what we don't know even faster.
You know when you know that the conversation like skirting very close to the fence? You know, it's getting there. I could feel that one going right there. You know, I was like, I'm very close to the problem. But I appreciate that. That's the truth of it. You know,
yeah.
What I mean? That's just what it's taking for you to get to where you are. And it's obviously taken a certain amount of discipline and acumen, you know, to arrive at being able to build a team like this.
Yeah.
And what do you think that is? What do you think is the one thing that you can kind of go, if I hadn't done this one thing, I don't think I'd be standing where I am right now.
Well, for me, it was collaboration,
right?
It was understanding when I was much smaller what my limitations were and finding the right relationships to kind of grow and pitch together on. And thank God people brought me along those journeys because without that, doors would not have been open to me and open to Roth Media ever.
Yeah.
So relational capital was our capital, you know? So we really used our networks and we really used this incredible industry as a springboard, when it should have been more like some kind of lead anchor.
We just
flipped it on its head.
Went
in. So one of the really, really cool ones that I can early recall. Probably we're gonna turn 7 in October.
What?
Right?
Look at you guys.
What?
I mean, what do you want, guys? What do you want?
Man, come on. Wow, cheer. Come on. But
7. That's
incredible. Turning 7. When I was 28, I left corporate to start an agency, and I'm 35 now.
That is incredible.
And
lady.
Literally October.
Yeah.
It's as amazing as 7 years.
That is insane.
Yeah. You can get to 7. You know, you can get to 14.
That's what's up, right?
That's what I'm working with. Yeah. That's what I'm.
That is incredible.
So that's the story really in terms of the back. But key collaborations. We were brought into a Unilever pitch in year 2 that was a huge game changer.
Sheesh.
We were brought into a huge Nestle collaboration in year three or four,
yeah,
which was a huge game changer for us. So other agencies being like team players and being like, I don't know, like maybe they'll call me,
right,
maybe more will call me,
yeah,
now because, yeah, guys, you know,
yeah,
but other agencies really just opening up their folds and, yeah, and their doors. I mean, Mortimer Harvey,
that's
Mortimer Harvey,
shout out to the guys in Mortimer Harvey, what's going on, yeah.
So they just incubated us and brought us into like different pitches,
yeah,
and just really allowed us one, like a chance to finesse the tools,
yeah,
with the full team of experts in one kind of
that's
pitch,
right,
session or conversation, and it just allowed us to learn either what we had, what we didn't know, or what we just absolutely like. It just allowed us to know where we are in the
business, yeah,
what we go for and what we don't. So I really appreciated that. I mean, I've always punched above my weight, like
that's a sub
forever.
Yeah,
that'll be who I am. But what was amazing for me is just how people just included us in,
yeah,
in their success.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
I think it's always great to hear those stories of, you know,
yeah,
I've come to become averse to the word mentorship.
Yeah.
Now it always feels like it's just, you know, yeah, it's loaded with other things in it.
Yeah.
But it feels like you kind of always had people that let you kind of come along for the ride in order to become, to get to where you
they
are.
They did.
You know
what I mean? They did.
And I think that's really, really cool. And so I was also looking through kind of your list of clients and whatever, right? And it's like, it's like a nice mix,
yeah,
right? It's like, it feels like you've worked with people, you've kind of worked with clients both locally,
yeah,
and with multinationals as well.
Yeah.
And it's a very funny thing because as the show was starting and Donovan said that thing about South African clients aren't brave enough.
Yeah.
And that this question actually kind of leads to that, you know, like,
yeah,
so what do you think that the difference is kind of from a creative perspective?
Yeah.
And just from an operational perspective, between kind of local clients and international clients, or have we all just kind of, you know, come to a monolithic approach to how
mm-hmm.
we do stuff?
Mm-mm. No. So I've been, you know, I've worked on both sides quite, yeah, extensively.
Yeah.
So what I will say though is there's still a long way to go to earn the trust,
right,
you know, and it's difficult because of it, because, you know, we are deserving.
Yeah.
But it's so difficult to demonstrate that if you're not given opportunities
that's
to
right.
show your work and to have case studies that you can bring into a room.
Yeah.
So for me, it's been easier with multinationals.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they have bigger concerns around the BE codes and,
yeah,
and including small black businesses in,
yeah,
the mix that are women run. And I feel like with local businesses, sometimes with private businesses that,
yeah,
don't necessarily, you know, if you don't comply, it just means you don't get to partake in certain economic activity.
Right.
But I feel that they have enough of a pool of economic activity to keep them sustained without playing by the rules.
Ah,
so they're able,
right,
to kind of cut the corners a little bit more. So it's been really frustrating convincing people that, listen, we're not here to waste your money,
yeah,
or your resources. We care about your brand as much as, you know, anyone else.
Yeah.
And we're actually here to make sure that you have successful campaigns and a successful brand in,
yeah,
this market. But yeah,
yeah,
it's been a tough journey with local companies and businesses.
Yeah.
Multinationals, thank you for your support. it's been lit.
Yeah, exactly. That's so interesting because it's always felt like, and it's a crazy thing because it almost feels like the theme of, you know, kind of starting local,
yeah,
and then expanding internationally from the awards conversation we had earlier.
Yeah.
I feel like that theme is kind of the running thing. Someone just also stepped into this too, but it's okay. We'll chat later. I just got a shake of the head real quick. But I feel like it blows my mind that, you know, it's always felt like you're probably going to start with the local stuff,
yeah,
and then that leads to international work, because that's kind of how we've all been taught is how it's going to happen.
Yeah, like it's just really, really, really like an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
So
it
needs to change.
Yeah.
Of course, and I think that with a lot more senior creative black talent really,
yeah,
coming, stepping into leadership roles, with transformation really being a big agenda for all of us.
Yeah.
We will get there, but it's it's got to be at the speed of entrepreneurs and creative entrepreneurs specifically.
Yeah.
So how many people have closed their doors? I feel just as lucky being here 7 years.
7 years
nearly,
in too.
But I think of all of the people that didn't make it.
Yeah.
And it just breaks my heart because it was one small cog that needed to change to make sure that those businesses could still have succeeded. And the thing is, we just all have to make it. Like
that's the thing.
Like that's the mandate. Yeah.
But it seems like you know, like every time you speak about the space, I feel like we should just go there right now. You know what I mean? Why aren't we there right now? Why are we running this interview from the space? Because it sounds like amazing things are happening. It feels like there's also quite a challenger energy.
Yeah.
That runs the place.
Yeah.
Is that what fuels it? Is it fueled by that? Also, like, you also can't be a challenger forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can't.
You're not gonna be a David. No. When you're 7 years in as well, you know, so
it's definitely, like, for me, it will forever be the challenger position because I don't think we all understand what we're catching up with. There are giants beyond, like, we are absolutely on our back foot here.
Yeah.
So the challenger thinking needs to be consistent.
That's right.
Because all it will do is it will evolve, right? So you might be challenging. Your first kind of challenger position might be just to be included, seat at the table, right?
Yeah.
Big conversation right now. And then the second proposition you might take would be something like, we want to get a specific slice of the pie. Because once we start becoming more economic players, and speaking to the industry at an economic level, we know that small black agencies are fighting for a very small slice of the pie. Like, they're literally dog-eat-dog over tiniest slithering whisper, like a feather
of the pie.
It's literally a drop in the ocean where if we're deserving and if we work hard and if we collaborate and if we join forces, you know, we could literally start competing for bigger and more meaningful work that would then take the transformation agenda forward in a much bigger way. So we just can't play this limited game.
I cannot agree with you more. That just touched me in my special place. But I want to change gears a little bit and I want to find out from you, you know, because it's also one of the things that I saw on your site. It's about community integration, right?
Yeah.
How important is that to Throughout Media?
For us, it's that's the thing. Like, I'm probably one of the key reasons that I started this agency is I just felt that we weren't communicated to in a way that was uplifting or that in a way that was always dignifying.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can speak to this just as much as I can.
Yeah.
So for me, the main thing is if you're really servicing communities, and these are these consumers that are just so nameless and faceless, and we're just looking at demographic and psychographic data.
But the beautiful LSMs.
The beautiful LSMs.
Oh,
I got
another LSM. He drives a Golf 4. He's a key player, but lives in his back room.
Yeah. It's the craziest thing. But actually, respecting that consumer means taking things a little bit further and just staying close the ground and servicing the ground and being a part of the community.
Yeah.
Because you can only condescend on somebody that you don't engage and relate with.
Right.
So you've got to get in there, make sure that you are absolutely immersed.
Yeah.
Make sure that you are not there to exploit.
Yeah.
And that you are there to learn and teach and to add value. And you can only do that by just keeping your feet on the ground and just, like, literally immersing within the values and the things that are most important to these beautiful LSMs.
Yeah.
So that's what we try and do. So we do a lot in terms of our own giving back. We try and pay it forward. We try and stay and have the right conversations. We do a lot of research. Obviously, like, it's very easy for a huge agency to say, you know, death by focus groups.
Yes.
But for us, it's not really a focus group. When it's just a one-on-one engagement where you actually get to walk away with so many learnings and people are so generous, you wouldn't believe what they'd share with you if you actually show up for them. And that's what we try and do.
And that's kind of one of the biggest things I've always had with focus groups and stuff like that. It's just like, guys, I know, I walk into that room and I can see that there's one guy who's talking more than everyone.
Yeah.
Also, you've also promised all these people 350 bucks later. You know what I mean? And there's some Palonis energies on the table. You know what I mean? Like, all those things affect how people answer questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And unless you go out there and you have deep and meaningful and real conversations with people, then you actually are not going to get the real. And that's why people are dancing in adverts. You know, because nobody actually spends the time trying to understand exactly how these people work.
Yeah.
All you see is that you went there on a Saturday to speak to these people. Of course you're going to see people dancing.
Exactly.
And you think that that's all we are.
Yeah.
So that for me, that just fucks with
me. We just don't even actually peel the layers with Emergence. Like, I've taken so many clients on Emergence, and you can just see, like, they walk in there with their bias, and they walk in there already with their preconceived ideas about people. And it's so difficult to try and break that sometimes because of the way an immersion is structured.
Yeah.
So that's a big piece of work we're doing. Our next big thing is we're starting up a research division within the business, because we take this thing very important.
Yeah.
We want to educate brands and clients about consumers in the right way.
Oh, so, that's so
we've
dope.
Just got to just really just have better conversations.
Here. I like that so much. I like that so much. I think that's really, really dope, man. And I think that there's a whole bunch of other, obviously, of other companies that you collaborate with that are going to benefit from the fact that you do this kind of stuff. I saw that at some point you guys did one of your case studies was Fired Up Soweto.
Yes.
With Nando's, right? Yeah. And I was like, I kind of imagine, and I wanted to know this from you, what the pressures must be to kind of work with a brand that, like, every South African just kind of goes, yeah, man, they do all the controversial stuff, it gets everyone talking, and then you collaborate with them. Was it a matter of making them understanding exactly how your voice works, or did you kind of have to feel like you had to slip into the way they do things?
Oh, no. They're, man, like, the Nando's marketing team, especially the one we worked with back in that year.
Yeah.
Incredible, was preaching to the choir.
Right.
They literally understood exactly what it was they wanted to do.
Yeah.
They understand their voice very clearly. They understand their propositions, and they understand what their consumers value very well.
Yeah.
And then they take these global learnings from just all these different brand extensions they do around the world, and they were literally bringing these learnings back into the country. And the leadership of that marketing manager, that GM, we could only but be successful because of how they partnered us.
Shout out to the Nando's team. What's going on? So much props. Yeah.
No, man. Yeah. Jeff White.
Yeah.
And I think Lindani.
Yeah.
Nyandu was still the GM there.
Right.
Back then. And I mean, the leadership, I mean, everybody knows Lindani is beast mode.
That's
we
right.
all know that already. But to get the opportunity to work with her and to see her in action was just amazing. So we were really set up for success on that campaign.
Oh, that's great.
We were given every single tool possible.
Yeah.
There was huge integration across all their different divisions to make sure that that campaign was successful. And we ended up having like one of the first and biggest like social trends in South Africa on that event in that year.
Before
events were trending things, here we were.
But for me, I think that it's exactly that. You know, there's a sense of leadership that has to come with the space that we all exist in. You know what I mean? Like to kind of, it's also easy to just kind of get, let's just do things the way everybody's been doing. And it's easy to just say, I'm collaborating with the Nando's, let me just do things the way they've been doing. Mm-hmm. But you obviously brought something to the table that made this that project what it is.
And they inspired it.
That's right.
And they allowed it. Yeah. And they created a safe space for us to speak to these ideas and to really, I mean, the limited resources, but what a result.
Yeah.
And really just because we were given the right partnership, and when we sat them down and said, we are missing this, and this is gonna fail without this.
That's right.
They heard us. Can you imagine just how incredible it is to feel seen and heard in a moment like that? When I know I'm now outside of your original budget.
Yeah.
But this is critical. I'm telling you, I need this. Like without it, it's not gonna work. And someone's like, what do you need? Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Wow, that blew me away.
That's fantastic. That's so cool. Okay, but I know what's happening out there right now, that there's a whole bunch of like young people listening to the show at colleges and those varsities, and they probably want to know whether you guys have some kind of program that's got people like them once they come out of college or while they're still in there.
Yeah.
Do you guys have some kind of program, some kind of system that gets the squad coming through?
We do. People must get in touch with our HR officer. His name is Arnold.
Right.
And his email address
Hit him up. Yes.
His email address is arnold@rothmedia.co.za.
Yeah.
And he absolutely has the mechanics down to a science.
Right.
Like every single year we've had the most incredible pool of talent come through.
Yeah.
And they've learned so much and gone back and either gone to go do the honors or landed positions with bigger agencies because of just how they interview after having spent some time with us.
Yeah.
The content that we expose them to and just how seriously we take their learnings.
Yeah.
So absolutely hit up Arnold. Like for me, I'm here for it. Like, you know, I, like I said, for us, that's part of pay it forward.
You know, that's right.
I know a lot of people look at me and they're like, you know, it's not always a clear journey. How did you get there?
Yeah.
And I literally tell people, like, it's relational capital. Like, dope. Do good work, go work with people, go work for free.
Yeah.
Go learn what you don't know and invest in yourself. If you're not going to invest in yourself, how do you expect someone else to invest in
you? Absolutely.
And I also try and hire from that pool. Obviously, we don't play above our weight in terms of making people promises around their livelihoods that we can't sustain.
Yeah.
But we do try and give people.
But there is a bigger thing that you hand them.
Yeah.
You know, that they can go out into the world.
Them in, yeah.
That is so dope.
Yeah.
So there's another thing that we love to do here. It's crazy because the hour literally flies by, right? So the other thing that we try to do here, like I'm always I try to inspire people who sit in, like, you know, in whatever town out there. And
yeah.
Go, if someone from my hood could get to that place, you know what I mean? I'm sure I can do it as well. So tell me about Rorisang. Where are you from?
Oh my word.
Yeah.
From. Yo guys, it's gonna get like real serious.
Yeah.
Now.
Let's get in there.
So for the first four years of my life, yeah. From place called Tweespruit. A lot of people don't know it, but it's in the Free State,
right?
Very close to Lesotho.
Okay.
And my family had a farm there.
Yeah.
And just let me tell you, like the villages that are around those farming communities.
Yeah.
It's like just I've got such a desire in me to literally open the same doors that led me here.
Right.
If I could sit here one day,
absolutely,
and be from just like. Such a small nothing place.
Boom.
You know, like it's really incredible.
Yeah.
My family then moved to Tabanchu.
Right.
And Stiba. Yeah. Always gotta, you know, make sure I throw it in there.
Shut up.
Because if I don't, they let me know. Like, they're like, what? After everything.
What's going on?
So I spent primary school in Tabanchu up until middle school, and my mom was working there, my dad as well, and it was just probably the most idyllic years of my life because it is such a small community. Everybody knows everybody.
Right.
Most families are like just basically related.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes. That's right.
Like, ho, hectic. So essentially, middle school, my parents then moved to Pretoria.
Right.
My stepdad was finishing off his.
Shut up, Pretoria. What's going on? To PTA people.
Yeah. And in Pretoria, we lived in Garankuwa.
Garanka.
Hello. So there's that. Then they put me in boarding school in Bloem.
Right.
I was in boarding school for most of my high school.
You say in Bloem?
In Bloem.
Right.
And they joined me in Bloem. And they lived there for about the next 20 years and just really settled there.
Yeah.
My mom landed a really cool gig.
That's right.
Dough was lit.
That's so.
Yeah, we're gonna build what we need to around that. My stepdad had now graduated and everything. He started a few practices in Bloem. And he was just an incredible doctor. R.I.P. But you know, they created a really incredible life for me. So when I went to varsity, I'm 18 at Wits University.
Yeah.
You know, like they had me figured. Let me tell you, just the savings, making sure I have the money to study, doing what they could.
Yeah.
But it was difficult because my stepdad died, and what you lose from a mom at least as a partner in these expenses. So things did get dicey during my varsity career. So I started working really early.
Yeah.
Earlier than most, you know, like I jumped in and I joined a photography studio to start subsidizing
my living
and my expenses.
Yeah.
And I was a photographer for a few years, if you could
believe
that.
Look at you.
What? Austin Malema.
This is
I could take you, nigga. Leroy Jason. Don't play with me, folks. Don't play. Y'all are lucky I'm out here. So I did that for a few years, and post that, a lot of like, obviously your normal gigs as a student, promotions, this, that, the next thing. I did a really cool high risk thing though, which is I leased out a house and I started running a commune in second year. I've always been like kind of like just, you know, I go for things.
Yeah.
And I went from there, and then the real jobs came in. You know, like I became a brand ambassador for Brutal Fruit.
Yeah, that's what's up.
You know, I'd be fly to do that kind of thing. So you know. Back then, not really lead.
That's
like,
right.
Not now.
Yeah.
We just have to follow the Gabby Union model and see how we fix things. But back it was just a tear. So, you know, Brutal Fruit Ambassador, after that, I landed my first really big job or big opportunity, which was at Coca-Cola as a marketing assistant, and then FNB. I think Nedbank was the prelude to Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
After that, I joined. I had an offer for Media 24.
Hello.
And an offer for South African breweries. And man, it was just going to be SAB, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know? Absolutely, without a doubt.
It was just going to be SAB. You know, like they had a lot of really exciting global brands just coming through. Yeah. And I just had to be a part of that. So became my home.
Yeah.
I was there for probably they were so glad that I was like, guys, I'm start a business. They were like, you know, great, go try something else, you know.
Right.
You've done this for 6 years. So at 28, joined Mortimer Harvey in business development.
Yeah.
While they were just kind of helping me think about and set up my business proposition for Roth Media.
Yeah.
And a good 8 months from there, we were in a good place to come apart.
Yeah.
And I jumped. No parachute, no nothing.
Yeah.
Good
luck.
Straight out God
jump.
Speed.
Yeah.
Jumped.
That
just took
so
the
dope,
leap
man.
Of faith. With no provident fund, no nothing. Just the knowledge that what I do is valuable and worth it. Because I've seen it make people money.
Yeah.
I've seen it do incredible things. I've seen it transform communications already.
Yeah.
I've seen my brands flourish just under these here hands.
Yeah.
So I knew Klocho Marketing. Do what you need to do and jump. And
jeez,
I did it, Grant. And it was, it's been the most incredible. Like, I've grown up so much.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was something of the arrogant youth in me in my 20s. Swag, though. Swag. What? Dripping in fitness. Like,
you know, right. Like I could chat to you literally all day. You know what I mean? I love you. You got stories for days. You know what I mean? But all inspiring. You know what I mean? I feel like there's, I really feel like the hour really flies by.
It
you
does.
Know, and because there's so much more. I think we have to get you back in here.
You
shout out to Cheers. Cheers, what's going on, man? You shout out for giving the reason finally to the studio. But we have to get you back
we
in
do.
Here.
We do, and I should bring the army of women that are my squad.
I think absolutely.
Lerato, Melissa, the whole team.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're amazing.
I think
so,
absolutely have to.
Yeah.
We're completely out of time. We're out of
cannot
time.
Cannot believe it.
I know.
Grant, I'm coming back.
You absolutely are. But everybody
co-anchor
out
though. Let's chat about that.
Like, well, hold on. One thing at a time. Oh, it's your boy G-Man the Ant-Man, guys, and completely out of time. But get the podcast. You know, play it for your moms. Play it for some people in your studio, because I think some things were said here today that people need to hear. You know what I mean? But thank you so much once again for coming through, Rasang. It's been beautiful. And you know, like I say every week, guys, to you guys, you know, it's tough out there. So take care of yourselves, take care of those briefs, but most importantly, take care of each other, because it gets really, really crazy in this shit that we do. And once again, you know, like I say every other week, though, if this show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's your boy, G-Man the Ant-Man, and we are out of here. Boom!
This is CliffCentral.com.